This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Yeah. Sing it,
really,
girl.
There's really a little bit of autotune in here.
A little bit, a little bit.
All of us could do a better job than that.
Yeah, I know. It is, but honestly, out of all of the songs that Housewives have done, I feel like that is the first one I always think of if I think of a Housewives song. Money Can't Buy You Class. It is catchy. No, it's a catchy tune.
What was that song that, Atlanta, what's her, Kim?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I remember when Kim was singing.
Party, was it called?
Yeah.
I try not to remember.
No, what was
song.
It? Party.
The other one that, what's her name? Joe Gorga's
wife.
Jersey White.
Oh my gosh.
Hers
were actually good songs you would listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the song by, what's Kim now?
You guys have Kim.
Hi guys, we're here for Real Housewives of New York again. We are here for the 18th episode. I'm Ashley Daniels along with a full panel tonight. It's been a while. I'm glad to have you girls back. Who am I with tonight? Starting over here.
Hey guys, I'm Stephanie McGraw.
Hey, I'm Lindsay Wagner.
And Courtney Henderson.
And what is the damn song? What is that song?
Oh my gosh. You guys, somebody needs to tweet us right now.
Google it. We can have our phones out. We can't.
I was like, am I breaking a rule?
No, it's okay.
It's related.
Perfect. I feel like it's something with party. Party something.
I can't remember.
I don't know. What is it? All right. Anyway.
We'll come back to it. I'll find it.
Okay. Who else thought tonight that watching Kristen and Josh was super disturbing, watching their fight?
Yeah.
I actually felt like how you feel when you're young and you watch your parents fight.
Yes.
It's kind of scary and disturbing.
I think one thing that could sum it all up is if anybody's watched any of the recent episodes of Reality Stars Marriage Bootcamp, guess what? Season 2 is going to be on.
Gretchen Slade.
No, but don't you do your own.
I know.
The two of them, I'm like, they're going to be on Marriage Bootcamp.
Oh, yeah. So that's where they all go. Season 2. When they're done with reality TV, they try to do one.
He's just so inconsiderate of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just doesn't really.
But on the same level, she taunts him and pushes him. And like,
she's so sensitive, though. She's always, you can't say anything to her with her breaking down.
You're right.
You know?
I think they're both in the wrong, and I think they're both going to hate therapy because they're both going to find out that they're not 100% right.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
reality check.
They both have very valid points, but they're both wrong in certain circumstances, and I think that neither one of them is prepared to hear that they're in the wrong at all.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, totally. I've got a prediction for that later.
I want to hear that, but save it so we have some anticipation
it.
For
Certainly.
It. Okay, so first scene we see is Kristen and Josh meet with Heather. And this is kind of the beginning of the unraveling. Yes, what
I got
is it?
Okay, it's Kim Zolciak.
Yes. Oh, yep.
That's it.
Tardy for the party.
Okay.
Don't be tardy for the party.
I knew it was party something.
Yep, yep,
party pooper,
yep.
Tardy for the party.
But you remember even Nene.
That was
Nene
a good song,
Nene Leakes was in it. And she was,
It was catchy.
Yeah.
They are all really catchy. Almost to the point where it gets stuck in your head for
a long time.
That's the point. That's the point. Yeah. You know, pop song stuck in your head.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So this is the first scene we see. That we always, every time we see Josh and Kristen, I don't think I've ever, even on a phone call, they're always doing something, talking about something that is going to unravel slowly and become an argument. And we see it with Heather joining them at a bar, wherever they are, wherever they're eating and drinking. What did you think of seeing Heather not that she really took sides, but she didn't take Kristen's side, and Kristen didn't really like that when they were talking about being an entrepreneur, what it takes to be an entrepreneur.
I appreciated Jonathan kind of stepping in a little bit and just trying to play peacemaker, think, for the most part, because Heather wasn't taking Kristen's side. So I feel like he kind of was just trying to be a little bit of a mediator and make sure that she didn't feel completely three against one, even though he understands, obviously, that him and his wife both run successful businesses. Josh is running a business, and Kristen.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And isn't currently, but I appreciated that on him, and I applaud him for his respectfulness towards her.
But do you not see then possibly Kristen's point from last episode saying, you are bossy, your husband, because you kind of saw, as you said, he would always, you can see him always playing the mediator.
Mm-hmm. And he said, he goes, to Kristen, she can be a BOSS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, like it was playful, but he still said it, and it's, you know. But I don't think, like, any of them are saying, nobody is trying to say that that's a negative thing. Mm. But her tone expressed and communicated it as a negative thing when she initially said it. And that's where Heather had the problem, was that you're trying to say that I'm bossy and that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And so at the dinner, I think that it was one of those. And I think Kristen is just one of those where she just wants to feel like they understand her side. And it's kind of, to me, a little bit, almost like, you know, pot calling the kettle black, because I don't think that it does the same, you know. I don't think that she's trying to understand their side.
Yes.
You know, they're both kind of saying, no, I get what you're saying, but.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think, and also what you said, I think she's just super sensitive.
Mm.
Kristen's really sensitive. Mm-hmm. But she takes everything serious. And she even talks about herself like, I'm just the housewife. Like, how many times do we hear her say that? Like, it's almost like she's mocking her status, what she does in her life. And it's like, she thinks everybody else is thinking that about her, but really no one's thinking anything bad about her.
I think it's really she's projecting her own internal that she really does see herself as that. But by constantly speaking about herself in that light, it's actually coming true. Sometimes when you constantly throw it out there, and she's always like, I'm just the housewife, I'm just the pretty, you know, I take that as a joke. But you're now actually believing it and acting upon it.
Right. Well, that's a good point.
If they're going to therapy, or, you know, talking about going to therapy, I feel like there's probably things that we don't see, you know, behind the scenes, that are going on behind the scenes that they're not putting on camera, that have to be worse than what we've seen. Because while I do think that there's a lot of arguing, like you said, we don't really see them on camera unless it's spiraling into some sort of disagreement. Mm. But it's one of the things where I still don't think arguing about running a company and being on time and being appreciated are things that are, I don't know, it just feels like there's got to be something more than just that, because, like, I feel like all couples kind of fight about that. And when Heather was in studio, she kind of said, you know, they just put what everybody goes through on camera, kind of a thing. So
right. I don't know. It's one of those things I just think that we're never going to really see. I'm never really going to understand where Kristen's coming from in a lot of the things that she thinks. She just, to me, comes off very immature in a lot of ways. And we'll get into the fight that was really disturbing, but that really showed her. I mean, she's not a bad person. She just doesn't know when to let off, and just, she has to put herself in his shoes and other people's shoes in a lot of occurrences, because otherwise she just thinks about herself. She's in her own head too much.
For some reason, I kind of take that. I mean, I guess being a model, and I'm not a model, nor have I ever been, so I don't, you know, I'm jumping out here and making assumptions. But I just think that lifestyle in particular, it really is a coddled lifestyle. I mean, she's constantly been taken care of in some way. I mean, you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. You make a profession. You make money of how you look and your body and stuff like that, and everything's always about you. And I just think there's some of that still comes. She wants everything still about her, and she always wants that attention, and you know. And Josh clearly doesn't think about her 24/7. She just doesn't like that. It's very immature and spoiled brat. Like,
I disagree.
You disagree?
I don't. Well, I don't. I think to an extent, yes. But I think she has a very valid point. We've seen through the whole season you know, even when Heather and her husband got to the dinner, there she's like, oh, you know, I guess you get here first, you get the bench, you know. And she's she made the comment. She's like, yeah, it pays to be on time. And so being on time is like the only thing that
she's a time Nazi.
That's like her thing, you know.
I can side with that. I'm a time Nazi myself.
I am too. Yeah, but would you be that way if you have a boyfriend currently? Would you be that way if he was late for work from work?
Yeah, and he knows that. He knows that, and so he would text me and say, "I'm going to be running late. I'm sorry. I'm getting embarrassed right now."
No, that's like, okay. Sorry.
It's okay. But that's true. And he understands that, and he knows that I am a time Nazi. Like, he would say it himself, and I can fully admit and say I am a time Nazi. I am crazy about it.
I'm obnoxious about it. At least he knows.
But he knows that it upsets me. So then he'll be like, "Hey, I'm running late," or this happened, or "Hey, I'm going to be here at this time," or if I'm expecting him at a certain time and he shows up late, he gets it. He understands.
Yeah. Well, you had to have an initial conversation for that. I did too. My boyfriend used to come home late and I'd be really annoyed. I'm like, what? Who do you think you are? Like, you're 20 minutes late. I've been waiting for 20 minutes. Like, and I'm like you. Mm. But now it's like almost the extreme. He's like, I'm going to be 10 more minutes. I'm like, poor guy. He thinks I'm going to, like, kill him. He's like, a poor kid. I'm like,
but that's considerate of you and respectful of your feelings. Yeah, and I just think that we can get more into that when we talk about that. They're missing that.
But
they're missing that.
Because they've had that conversation that we both had to have. Mm-hmm. So why
I think because in the dinner, are we talking about the dinner?
We're talking about anything.
So in the dinner, you know, when they're sitting there and it comes up, you know, and Josh used to run or manage or own a marketing company, moves them away to do e-boost, and it's like to basically say I'm starting a business and we're moving our life, and you didn't even consult your wife. He talks about, you need to respect my life, you need to respect what I'm doing, and it's like, you got married, dude, you had kids, you don't have a my life anymore, an our life, you have an us, and so if you want you time, like, that needs to be balanced out, and that's a portion of, you know, the time that you get, because you made other commitments that need to be honored. And I feel there's a part of him that doesn't really respect the fact that he made a commitment to her and he made a commitment when having kids.
No, totally. How much of that? Oh, go ahead.
And I was going to say, there's a part of me that still thinks that Josh married into and still likes the perception of having a wife that's a model. That's why he treats her like that still. You know, she says, I'm just the pretty housewife. But he generally sees her as that. Still.
She doesn't demand a different...
I don't think she ever... I think now she's demanding something different. It's like, hello, honey, we're 10 years later. Things have changed now. But he's like, no, this is... I don't know. I think possibly the relationship, that's how it started and they were happy with it at the time.
And
but
it hasn't evolved.
It has. Yeah, exactly. And he's like, no, I'm the business. Remember, this is how it's always worked and you're the model. And now she wants something different.
Well, because modeling, you know, we saw, was it like the first or second episode where, like, modeling's kind of out now.
Mm-hmm.
Fitness videos are in.
She certainly, I think, is Kristen in general sitting in a fragile position in terms of her self-identity and what she's actually doing, because she isn't a model anymore. And that was her whole life. That's her profession. That's what she identified. So she's like, well, I can't cook, she says, and you know, doing that. So she's like, I'm even a shitty house. What the hell am I then?
Yeah, right.
And so all these comments are clearly very sensitive, possibly at the moment, because she's feeling like that. She's sitting on the edge. She's in the middle of transition career.
And I got mad at her when they were having dinner, and he's like, you know, I'm grateful that you made this dinner, and she goes, well, not grateful enough to be on time.
No, that's when you and I screamed.
Yeah, I was like,
at the same time. Because now it's like,
stop picking.
First of all, when he first came home and he kissed her, I was shocked at that, because I thought he'd come home and just flip out. Mm-hmm. He was able to put it behind him, walk through the front door, and try to start a blank slate and start anew, which I think she didn't even deserve. In the sense that, yes, she has a valid point that you need to be on time, but she needs to understand where he's coming from. He's working all day. That, to live in that apartment, I was looking it up because it had the name of the apartment. I was just looking up if you rent that apartment, like any unit in that apartment. They go up to, I'm assuming they probably have a 3-bedroom. They have 2 kids and they need their own bedroom. It's like $13,000 a month. That's not even including like any types of like housing. You need to pay like monthly
utilities.
Yeah. I mean, the pressure on this guy, and yes, he probably has millions. I think we looked up eBoost a while back. He has money. But that money goes, and it's like mm-hmm. he's got a lot of pressure. He's got two kids, they're living in Manhattan in one of the most sought-after apartment units it's very new. It's built in like 2003.
Yeah.
It's so expensive. And, you know, and things do come up during the day, and he has a lot of pressure. So when he comes home and he's nice enough to be like, okay, like, the fact is he knows he's going to come home and possibly not even have a good meal because he knows she can't cook. So that's, like, one thing. He has to come home and eat, like, crappy food, and he's going to be okay with it. But, like, to be screamed at and then come home and then be like, okay, I'm going to put this behind me, walk in and just kiss my wife, and then she just starts again. It's like she has a lot of nerve. Just, like, wait till the weekend or something and, like, have this because he's going to get up the next day and early, I'm sure.
I get that too, but I feel like if you don't hash those things out right away, I mean, some people say they agree with the you can't go to bed angry, and then other people are like, no, sometimes it's best to sleep on it. Mm. I think if something's really bothering you, how are they going to have dinner without talking about it? And at least.
But they didn't really talk about it. It was more like.
An argument.
It was more like nagging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like, if she, I just feel like if she sat there and she was like, listen, like, to be honest, like, this really bothers me. Like, I don't know how else to tell you, and I don't want to yell at her.
That's
what I mean,
how immature she constantly does. She didn't,
maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that she didn't come off that way.
Things just go like that.
A little bit.
Little chuck.
And something, but nitpicking. There's something to be said also about, I mean, 10 years, and I would get the impression that this time thing may have been an issue. Like, he doesn't value being on time with her. Maybe he doesn't value being on time at all. I don't know. But it's one of those things where when you've asked somebody, let's say eBoost is 7 years old, I don't know, you know, you ask nice in the beginning and you sit down and you say, babe, no, this really bothers me. Like, I know you're starting a company. I know you're busy. But I'm sorry, after 2 years, after 4 years, after 10 years, you know, of asking nicely, like, at some point you can't speak.
Well, that's
you can't
us
ask
assuming.
Nice
that's us assuming exactly. that she's done that.
And that's why I say, like,
and
there's
you're
things
probably
we don't
right.
See.
Because we have not seen the past 10 years. But going by what we see, it at one point, you and I just could not believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because she pick and choose your battles.
Right,
You can be upset, but the fact that he was trying to be appreciative and say, I'm grateful for this, just shut up and say, thank you.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to get anywhere with them.
Yeah, by saying that, oh, not grateful enough to be on time, how does that stop the argument? It's just going to fuel it more further piss him off and piss her off, and then they're both going to go to bed angry anyway and not accomplish
sarcasm,
anything.
And the sarcasm, you know, backhanded comments to her. She's like, you always mock me, but yet then she never just shouts up.
Exactly.
So they're both
perpetuating it.
Right, absolutely. And she doesn't know how to communicate with him. He doesn't know how to communicate with her. And they need this therapy that they're talking about or whatever, this marriage counseling. So, all right, 16 minutes on them, but wait, it was necessary.
Yeah.
Okay, so we see Mario and Avery at the piano, and he has his singing lessons, and we hear that he's going to sing for this, you know, this party, whatever.
And anybody know that Shane, the gay husband, who's his first time ever appearing on this season, has more airtime than Mario?
Yeah, interesting.
Just sat throwing it out there.
Anyway. What do you think of Mario's voice? I think it was bad. I mean, I wasn't like,
was
oh
bad.
My God.
I'll go with
he
the Luann answer. Was he Frank Sinatra? No.
He played it safe, you know, but he wasn't out of tune. You weren't like, oh,
no,
they showed flashbacks of Luann.
He was in key.
Yeah.
But it was cute. It's weird. I don't know why they would keep that in there, because it's part of me is like, okay, but they know now that during this time he was cheating, we assume.
I think there's something the producers were doing that, because then they did
all
the flashbacks.
I mean, that was
and
weird.
And saw her crying and her going,
Well, she's just pushing. Ramona's pushing so hard for it. If you guys notice, like her sitting there saying, you know, oh, you're gonna serenade me, you're gonna sing to me, and he's like, well, I'm gonna sing Shane, and then she's pouring her Ramona Pino and everything. She's just pushing and she's watching. Like I was telling you guys, I would want to be surprised. I don't want to see it. I want to see it like when it like
it is kind of sad because we know that she knows and.
Well, and he didn't dedicate it to her.
I know, you're right. He didn't.
I mean, come on. If you're going to sing a love ballad, like, why even go there? That was kind of how I felt. Like, but it's one of those where it's like Shane, you know, it's like, I feel like this is something, this is like Shane in the underworkings. If he's the one that wrote the song, isn't that what they were saying?
Yes.
He wrote the song, so it's like, he, you know, it's like, they're almost like forcing Mario to sing this.
Right.
When they know what's going on, almost, maybe underneath.
I mean, Luann, all the older housemates, they would have known to, how could they. Would that not be uncomfortable to sit there and watch Mario doing
well,
this?
Well, I think Harry was the smartest one. He's like stuffing his face
oh
with a hot
God,
dog and he's wearing chicken wings. He's like, screw this. This is like so fake.
Because everyone knows.
Yeah. And why draw attention to your relationship if you know that everyone knows that you're cheating? Because we assume that everybody knows because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they were talking about him cheating.
Fortune teller, yeah.
Yeah, and that. Oh, my God. And that's so true. Oh, all right. Well, so then we see Sonia find some new intern, and she's telling her all about the job she needs to, that the job entails.
Team Sonia.
Team Sonia, yeah. And all the things that she needs. She's like, I run a tight ship, and the little girl's like, okay, sounds good.
And you're working for free.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but she needs a lot of help, obviously. And then we see Avery. Aviva. Avav.
Only time we see her in this episode.
Yes. Yeah. What the heck did Sonia
getting
do?
Getting cat.
I mean, that was, to me, it was so set up.
Yeah.
That was so set up. Sonia would never do that on purpose. She would never throw Ramon under the bus like that. Ooh. She doesn't even like Aviva that much.
And we didn't even see any repercussions of it, so what was the point?
I was surprised.
And Sonia's like, I'm the only one that's got your back. I'm the only one that believes that you're ill. Well, she just turned in all of the other ladies.
In Montana, we were talking about tonight how the episode in no way focused on them gossiping about Aviva. Like, we didn't see any Aviva, Aviva, Aviva. It was the whole Heather-Kristen battle.
It came up, like, once, I think, with the wheelchair.
With the wheelchair.
To me, it's like, it's hard to believe that they would go on that trip and that they would talk about Aviva as much as Sonia made it seem, and that none of that would get airtime. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Especially if she's going to come do this when they get home.
Especially given the episode was so boring.
Especially knowing that Aviva goes crazy when you tell her anything. Yeah. Especially because...
But Aviva, really, I was actually really surprised, like, how well Aviva took it. Like, she just kind of, like, let it roll off her shoulder.
She maintained.
Was like, haha, my leg. Yeah, my leg's probably fake, too, you know? Like,
she was pissed.
She was pissed, but she maintained composure. But
why? Is my question. She never does. Is it because she knew this was set up too?
Yeah, I think she had to.
Probably. I mean, she would never just assume that Sonia would throw Ramona under the bus, or else she would be like, why are you doing this for me?
Yeah, like, what happened to you and Ramona?
Like, she's our Drama Queen Academy Award winner, so she didn't throw anything she didn't. When she's like, I just need a break from these women, I'm done. I'm like, honey, you just took a break, and look what happened.
Right.
I wouldn't separate yourself any more from these women if you don't want them bitching about you.
Right.
Is it? I mean, because we've seen the rumors of like the being fired and not fired and half season, and so maybe it's just part of that.
Well,
I don't know.
Even, like,
she didn't appear in the past three episodes. She barely appeared in this one.
So it's
I
like,
don't know.
Is it a contract thing where like they had to put her in a certain number of episodes? So like that's why this one little scene was in it, because then it counts as her being in the episode.
I feel like it was forced. I mean, I really do, because even watching
Luann's
Ramona,
agreed.
But even watching Ramona picking on Luann, that was so over the top. That was like, she usually says little things here and there. She never goes to that level for no reason. And it was between, and look at Sonia and Ramona were the two people tonight that caused drama for no reason at all, and they had no care in the world about what it was going to do to whoever they were talking to. So it just shows us that this is like episode 18. They're really looking for something. Like, come on, guys.
If Sonia was really worried about Aviva and was trying to protect her, then she wouldn't have told her.
Right.
She would have maybe softened the blow. Maybe softened the blow by saying, hey, some of the ladies were talking about you, but we actually ended up spending the most of our time in Montana dealing with Heather and Kristen drama and taking the pressure off of Aviva to try and make her feel better about it. Because I don't think she was just... I mean, if she's saying she's trying to be a good friend to her, that's not really being a good friend.
This is also coming from the lady that sits there and doesn't deny obvious...
The facialist.
...gossip is completely untrue. So I wouldn't trust that woman from...
Yeah.
Sonia's obviously very bored if she spends her time during the day setting up... What did we see? She said...
How many resumes? She said she looked up 80 resumes.
Feng shui or whatever. She made this lemons and all this nice stuff to soften the blow, whatever. It's like... Are you really, like, you need all these interns, but yet all you're doing today is sitting down to tell Aviva something, you call her up and tell her, but you have to, like, have this, like, nice little garden view of, like, to soften it. It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
It was so set up. It was so staged. Everything about it was staged.
And, like, and then going to the plastic surgery, though, it's, again, and we've all said this each episode, okay, I'm over it, Sonia. Like, she always brings everything back to her relationship, to her sex, and, you know, that whole...
And just takes it to the next level, because it's one thing to talk about sex, but she just takes it beyond with the, he's got to have something to grab on. Like,
well, and I
almost
don't want to say it, but I'm just like, Sonia, we know who you're having sex with. Like, I don't need to hear that.
I know. It's just she wants to always be... I know that she enjoys being the silly one and the funny one, but that was...
She's the oldest, isn't she?
Is she really?
I don't know.
I feel like Aviva's the oldest.
Is she?
She looks...
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah,
I got my Google.
I know Kristen's the youngest, but maybe Ramona's the oldest.
Well, and I even thought that it was kind of mean how they were kind of saying to Kristen, oh, you need Botox above
okay.
your...
Okay, like, what the heck was that? They said she needs it in her eyebrows to help yeah, like, give her an arch. She's like, well, I know I need Botox, but like, I'm like, you don't need Botox.
No, no. Girl looks great. Go natural.
No, that's crazy. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's the reason why a lot of New Yorkers, none of them actually, they all have not gone to an extreme level, yeah. but if you've seen some of those New Yorkers walking down the street when they are like, they look like Joan Rivers, like they have the cat
Honey,
face.
We live in Los Angeles.
I know, it's tier two. Yeah, but it's, and I feel like in New York, it's older women do it a lot more. Yeah. Maybe it's just I've seen it more in New York. Mm-hmm. But out here, younger girls do it. Like yeah. girls yeah. our age are getting Botox. It's insane.
Yeah.
Never heard of such a
thing. It's preventative.
I heard that too, actually.
I've thought about it. But, no joke. I'm like, no, might as well, should we prevent it, right it now?
But, yeah, but like, I'm too scared.
Your face goes back to the same thing after it. But you it's just like, more become addicted to
what?
Having that
You don't
face.
Have anything to prevent.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Like,
I
what have, if, you know, like they say, like, that what Jennifer Aniston and all of them have talked about doing it and just preventing the wrinkles
yeah, but
from
45
the,
years
the fine
old.
Lines settling,
it returns
I guess.
Back when, after that certain period when they need to redo them again to normal face. And then you look. And it's when people who constantly get them back to back and then they have that time when they sit, then of course they get to see their face how it naturally is and they're like, oh, it's full of wrinkles. I've got to get more. Mm-hmm. So it cuts you in the, you know, gets you into the yeah. grass and that's all you do.
And you yeah.
once
keep,
you start, just, you never stop.
Yeah.
One girl I know told me that her friend actually got Botox, you know, under her eyes or it was filler under her eyes. You can't get Botox, I guess filler. And she, one of her eyes is completely blind now. They yeah, hit a nerve. Yeah. So yeah, and mm-hmm. this is a Beverly Hills like plastic surgeon, I guess, so. I wouldn't do anything like that unless you, like, really, really sagging.
All natural.
Okay. So, yes, we do see them at the doctor. We see the melting fat off Ramona's stomach. It looked like all they were doing was just rubbing her with some cream.
Some you know, ultrasound. I mean,
whatever. Yeah. God only knows how much
a
that
few,
costs.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And then we go. So, that scene. Really nothing much more than that. But then we see the scene that we were talking about earlier with Josh screaming and Kristen and...
Did anyone late. Pick up, though, the reason that the producers possibly use the two complete opposite relationships to split between the two? We cross between Josh and Kristen
and
having
Harry.
A massive horror, you know, and then we have Harry and Sonia. Where Harry tells the first, you know, says, I love you. Mm-hmm. And it's this sparkling new romance at the start. 10 years down the track, we need therapy.
Yeah.
Okay, what the heck was that about the sweat, too? What was that conversation? Did she say she likes the smell of sweat?
She likes the smell of his sweat.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. I mean, he's romantic. Everybody loves Harry.
Oh,
it's like
pulling the picnic basket in Central Park.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I mean, she just...
Hello, there's a reason why he's been with Luann, Sonia.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Everybody yeah. but
he's
Amanda.
A charmer.
What is it that he has, though? What is it? There are some men that get
charisma.
Every girl.
It's that mojo.
Is it confidence?
Charming. He's There's charming. Charming. He's confident.
He's probably not the type of guy that responds to your text immediately. He probably takes his time. He's busy. He's
obviously, I feel like he'd be responding right away, and he would let you know how much he was thinking about
really?
You.
Really? I would
he'd
think he would.
He'd be also playing a couple of other ladies. Yes. No, he's very good at it.
Oh,
you
no,
think
no.
so? I feel like you don't want the guy that wants you that much,
think
though.
Matt Nordgren, though. Like, totally different show, but he's a charmer. And these
yes,
guys, and they
but
literally...
But is a charmer someone who's always there? Or yeah, what do you say by charmer?
Absolutely. They're always there. Like,
they, know,
the guys,
they know the way to a girl's heart.
How many of your single girlfriends, you know, go on a date that they're actually getting picked up for, that's planned, that's, you know what I mean?
My girlfriends don't even like those guys. They're like, oh, no, he's one of my friends told me that this guy picks her up all the way from Long Beach to Beverly Hills all the time, brings her back home, you know, he drives all the way out. She's like, it's just too easy. He's, like, way too nice. I'm like, what? They don't like the nice guys.
Yeah,
at least the people I know. I mean, I like nice guys, but I don't know why. And you do, I know.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
But guys like Matt Nordgren, like, they know when to get your heart and they know when to pull back. They play. I think Harry.
See, but I can see Matt, though, looking. To me, Matt seems like a douche. He seems like a jerk. I can tell that right off the bat because he's twisted it one notch too far, where Harry still looks like a gentleman. Well, true.
Maybe
but
don't.
It was
Maybe don't
it was definitely interesting to see that juxtaposition between Sonia.
I love doing that show.
Not to mention. Harry's had a lot more years of practice at
yes,
this point.
Yeah, like, point.
Single
so
50-year-old, 80-year-old Matt, you know, maybe back on track. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think he... I mean, when you think about how many people he's been with, sometimes girls get grossed out by that. They're like, you've been with everybody. You're a player. That doesn't even matter. They still go for him.
Or some girls say that, because look at the caliber of the women that he's been with. And some girls feel, wow, I'm put up in that same.
Mm-hmm. So 25 years ago, what was Aviva? What was Sonia? What were they? What was their status 25 years ago?
Oh, they might have been. They were beautiful women.
No, I know beauty wise, yes, but I'm saying, I thought you were saying a status level in society.
No, it could just be looks. I mean, you know how we all get. It's nice to know if you're a boyfriend, you look at some of their exes,
yeah,
and they're really attractive, and you kind of think, wow, okay.
Okay, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I mean, they definitely get really ugly women.
Oh my gosh.
Harry on the phone.
Okay, I feel like, you know, just like, we'll send him a picture of us.
Let's just do it.
We're four cute young girls.
Let's get Harry on. I want to get Harry on the phone. I want to ask him. Harry. He should have an advice, like, podcast or something each week and give guys advice.
How do you get these amazing
women? How to be a gentleman.
Yeah, yes, exactly. How to get women.
But I mean, is he a gentleman if he's, like, been through the whole ring of, like, a group of friends?
Well, these girls aren't, I think at this point, these girls aren't stupid. They know what his intentions are. They know there's not going to be any serious relationship. It's not going to end anywhere. I mean, that's why he's single at his age. Mm-hmm. He is a player in a sense.
I could actually see Sonia and Harry.
I do too.
Yeah.
I like that she said.
We saw the preview.
I like that she said she thought that they were going to get married years ago, and then he took some girl to, you know, a New Year's party, but they're back now.
I would think that, but when we spoke to her months ago, she said they're not together.
But they can't say that.
She was what?
Oh, that's true.
She's talking about Ben. They can't talk about, like, the future episodes and what's going on currently.
But she was talking about what she was doing currently. She was saying currently she was with Ben.
Yeah, because she was with Ben at the time in the show.
No, she was saying she was with Ben now.
Well, I wouldn't completely take that.
All right, fine. Whatever.
For full.
Fine.
She might still be.
I mean, Heather also told us, you know, that Kristen and Josh's marriage is, like, solid.
Could be now.
And we've just watched now the entire season.
That was last summer.
And that was all.
Well, that was last summer. It's almost a year
ago. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not right. But it's,
I know.
But they do have to be careful about what they divulge about.
I just don't see Harry settling down. I think he loves it. His life, why would you ever want to settle down when you're him? He can have anybody. And she can have anybody. Why would you want to settle down?
But at that point, it's like circulating back to Sonia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that
can, like, for the same reason you or anyone else ends up settling down.
Right, but at that age when you've already done so much, I feel like you've already dated so many people. I feel like they are comfortable with going back to each other and being each other's, like, savior and being like, okay, we're back. You're the guy I love, and then, like, they break up and then, like, oh, I missed you. And it's like it's like, I don't know. It's like this playful back and forth that they have that that would die a little bit, that passion.
They love that non-commitment stuff.
Yeah, right.
They do.
Okay, Jacques and Luann's photo shoot really quick. I know they're not together anymore, obviously, but, like, that was kind of sad to watch that.
The whole was this not a relationship episode?
It was totally
just, it was like paying tribute to all the relationships
that were gone. That didn't have any, what we saw, any major slip. They're the only ones in a healthy relationship.
Right. Who did you say? Heather and John.
Yeah. And Aviva and Reed, but... But that doesn't really count.
How healthy is that? We don't even know that she... the women don't think she can go anywhere without him by her side.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like...
Carol's single.
We saw enough with Heather and her husband when we saw the anniversary party.
Yes.
Like, I think they're rock solid. I think
absolutely.
They have, you know, their roles. You know, like, they've communicated and they know what each of their responsibilities and roles are in the marriage to keep it... smooth sailing and working.
Those kids are lucky.
You know.
Yeah. They have a really, really solid foundation. Like,
that's what it
looks
like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
And when she was in here, I mean, she's as real as they get.
Oh, my God.
I loved it. Then the cameras, then we do a scene with Carol and prepping and everything for a book tour in London.
Loved that.
With the assistant, Kate.
Okay. Who was that? So, wait, we found out that she dated Made in Manhattan.
She dated Ralph Fiennes. Yeah, Ralph Fiennes. She just mentioned it kind of underneath her breath.
Did anybody, though, say, was that not a little bit of a name-dropping session?
She's like, totally.
Katie Kirk, Barbara Walters.
But wait a minute. Wouldn't you guys do that if you could? I would.
If I could send my book to Barbara Walters,
I would do it in a second.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I know, but I'll just...
It's funny that you think that about, like, the name-dropping, because I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, my gosh, look at all of the things that Carol's done, and she's literally herself handwriting notes... putting these things...
Well, she wasn't handwriting them. They were already written, but she was just writing at the top and at the bottom.
To their name and signing them.
Yeah,
like,
that's true, actually.
Like, this isn't something that she has Team Carol doing while she's gone.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, she was still there with the assistant doing it. You know, saying, like, you give me the name, I'll, you know, jot down whatever she's going to jot down.
I love
and then they're
that.
Setting
and
it together.
And she's got no one calling her saying, excuse me, you're 30 minutes late for dinner. The potatoes are burnt.
Well, she has her. She only has to worry about herself. I mean, so she should be doing that. She doesn't have a kitchen.
Yeah,
so
doing the renos, they're tacking that out.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, I think that she, you know, she's single for a reason, because this is why she's where she is today, because she focused 100% on her career her entire life. Mm. So this is like probably how many times she's done that when she sat there.
For a period.
But this is like her life is her, like, her.
I still feel like she would want to settle down, but he'd have to be the right guy.
He has to be the right guy, I mean, and that's not easy.
Because she's
find.
On Tinder, you know.
I know.
We broke that news.
Just to make her remember. Just clicking.
I love that. She's like, I don't really talk to him. I just kind of like, yes, no, yes, no.
She's like, I don't really know where I am right now.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a poor thing. We, like, got her in here within 2 seconds. So we're like, sit down. Ready?
Yes, we have to call Harry or get him to call us.
We have to. We have to find a way to do that. Well, we'll talk. We'll figure it out. All right.
I have one more question before we get into the event. Since we were talking a little bit about Kristen and Josh, when all of them kept saying that Kristen has no work experience, do you think that that's a valid argument?
No.
No. No.
It's just a different work experience. However, from Heather and Josh's point of view, it's not. They don't count that as relevant. And it's difficult when you're talking about two people in the same professions, business people, entrepreneurs. You know, you have a natural understanding about what the job entails and what you do. And sometimes, since your ego comes out more so in that, and it's like, just because you don't understand what another profession, what's involved and what goes on, doesn't mean you have to dismiss them, belittle them, think it's not as superior as yours. But the two of them do, I don't know, maybe it's something about also the business profession.
But you know, I was surprised.
Lots of confidence.
I was surprised that Heather didn't have a little bit more empathy having worked with the celebrities that she worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Yummy hasn't been something she's been doing from the beginning.
Right.
You know, she worked with talent. She worked with P. Diddy and Beyonce and, you know, maybe other people. And I know she was on the business side, you know, with their clothing and things like that. But, you know, she saw these talented people and talent, and it's work. Like, what they do is work. Yes, there's a glamorous side to it. And yes, you know, they're taken care of. I mean, and yes, Kristen is no Beyonce. She's, you know, her career was definitely different. But it's, you know, being a model is not just like easy fun and games.
It's not.
You know
what
I mean?
No, absolutely.
No job
is. You're
right
about that.
No job is. And outside looking in on any profession, mm-hmm. you're going to see a little bit, I think, of the fairy tale side. You know what I mean?
Right. The business itself may be different, but there's one thing that keeps you going and keeps you successful in whatever you do, and that's having a work ethic. Getting up early for her photo shoots, whatever, being there on time, you know, being proactive,
getting up for the kids,
whatever it is that she was doing in modeling, you have to do in law or being a doctor. It's the same thing. You have to be on time, you have to have a strong work ethic, you need to work hard. No, the things themselves are not the same, your tasks are not the same, but your mindset has to be the same. So if she was doing modeling and she was successful at it, that means she has a business sense of how to brand herself and how to work in an industry, no matter what industry it is. So I think she's not even giving herself the credit she deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
because,
agree.
You know, like you were saying, when you put yourself down, then everybody else finds it easier to find flaws in you already.
You're telling them it's okay to treat you this way.
Yes.
It's like to
I'm
mistreat
gonna mock
you.
Myself, so I think I consider myself a bit of a joke.
Or
so everyone's like, oh, well, she does.
Or you're mocking yourself because you know other people already are, so it's easier if you're just doing it to yourself than you're almost just like putting
self-deprecating,
you know, self-deprecating so that you can't be hurt by what the people are saying.
The thing is, do you think that Heather in some way kind of sees it a bit like, yeah, I understand your experience in the modeling and things, but you're not really working as much now, and I've started a whole new business. I'm still doing the whole kids and the mum thing. You know,
Kristen may have not discovered her new venture yet.
No, I'm not saying that she hasn't, but do you not see sometimes, Heather, that's why she kind of says, yeah, I understand it, but honey, you're still not up at my level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like Heather thinks she's better than Kristen anyway. I think in any of those discussions, she just tends to, like, relate to Josh rather than belittle Kristen. Because I didn't feel like in that whole conversation that Heather was trying... Like, Josh can make Kristen and will say things that, like, make it seem like what she does every day is of less value than what he does
He belittles her.
Heather, as busy and maybe more so successful than Josh, I don't know the numbers, does not ever belittle what Kristen does in a day. You know, as a friend.
She didn't necessarily have to belittle her like that, saying directly, but I think just by agreeing, like, we know Kristen, we, me and Josh know
we
what
run businesses. We're entrepreneurs.
You don't understand.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, she no, I think that was mean, actually, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But I
was surprised she said it. She didn't mean it to be mean.
No, she didn't. Definitely. But I think that it takes, like we said earlier, with Kristen, Kristen needs to put herself in Josh's shoes just a little bit. Because although Kristen has valid points, it's wrong place, wrong time. He's tired. He just got home. He's probably on edge. Like, let's just let it go for tonight. Let him get to bed early and eat some dinner. Let's talk about it another day when it's... when we let's plan a time out to have this conversation. Same thing goes for this. I feel like she, you know, didn't really think about how Kristen would feel, how in her shoes. I think she spoke.
And I felt like, and because when Heather was using the example of like, you know, when you network and you come home, because Kristen made the comment about him coming home so late some nights, even if he didn't say he'd be home at six and he's late, just in general, you know, being out, you know, and I like how Heather, I feel like she was trying to give Kristen something to understand, you know, in a way that wasn't attacking or belittling like Josh can sometimes do because he's so frustrated with the situation, kind of saying like you can't always plan, you know, that everybody's going out for drinks with a potential huge client. Like, I can't know that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 5 o'clock at night. I could be walking out the door to come meet you and be on time, and I see somebody in the parking garage that says, hey, we're all going to meet Sam, and you know, Sam's a potential huge client.
Right.
So you go, you know, and I felt like that was, Heather was trying to use that as an example to give Kristen a means of understanding their life rather than just being like, you don't get this. And it's like, no, no, you have to understand that this is how it is. And Kristen wasn't biting. She wasn't, she wasn't going to see their side.
I do. All right. Well, let's get into the next scene because we are almost out of time. Okay. So we have the singing. We saw Mario sing, you know, great.
She,
good times.
Ramona annoyed the heck out of me. When you are...
What the heck was that?
As a performer and an actor, like, right before you're going to do something, you just, like... It's like going to an audition and the person that's sitting next to you is talking to you and you're like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know you're nervous because you're talking to me.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay.
That's how you do with your nerves.
Yeah. So he's singing. She doesn't have to do anything. She just has to be there. And she's annoying the crap out of him by talking to him. I would have been like, get out of my face.
Yeah. Totally. And okay. Speaking of that, what did you
think? Story of their relationship.
Yeah. No, totally.
Get out.
Okay, did you guys think that Ramona was... Why would Ramona be saying over and over again that Luann has been practicing there? Do you think that she heard that from somebody? Or do you think that really happened? She said she backed out last minute. Do you think she's making all this up, literally creating stories?
Oh, yes.
I think she was.
I don't think Luann did any of that.
Do you know? How could you just create that? That's terrible.
She was just... She was laughing at it, too. She
knew
what
she was
doing.
She said, you were here practicing. I heard you were here, and you backed out the last minute. Why'd you back out last minute?
If
go to Luann for telling her she's a cow and shut your face.
Yeah, well, right. Called her a cow.
Oh, my God.
If... And the other thing was, Luann stayed pretty chill for the beginning, and then all of a sudden she's like, okay, you keep going, Ramona, that's enough. So I don't think that, I think that everything Ramona was saying was just completely false.
And that's crazy. Luann was able
to think, you're crazy, I'm not going to respond to crazy, like, fine, keep talking. And then eventually you're going to get...
You don't think Luann practiced and was going to do it and then realized that she wasn't?
I bet Luann maybe had thought about doing it.
Yeah.
But had no plans on doing it.
I think Luann knows deep down that she can't really sing. I think she would admit that. I don't think she'll ever say, I'm a perfect singer, but I also don't think she wants to admit that. She'd rather just act like... Because really, how many times we've seen Ramona taunt her about singing and she won't sing?
See, and that's why I don't think Luann... I think Ramona wanted Luann to sing because Mario was singing and it would, like... just humiliate Luann and like
and she
put it
say,
to bed once and for all.
Is so much better than
exactly.
She's like, Heather's better than you. So, I bet Heather's better than
you. So I think it was more, it was like a wish that didn't come true. Like Ramona, for whatever reason, wanted Luann to sing and wanted her husband to show her up. And it didn't happen. And so she was like taunting her, trying to get her, cause like she was still trying to make it come true. I don't know why attacking and taunting and making fun of somebody is how you think you're going to get them to do what you want them to do.
Right. But. She was hoping that by... Yeah, exactly. She was doing... Because she knows if she's silent, then Luann just... She knows... I think maybe she also knew Luann wouldn't do it no matter what. Yeah. And so she had to make sure that she made it known on camera that she cannot sing and she's afraid to sing. Not that she is or not, but that's what she assumes.
She was just being so rude.
She's like, well, if you're not going to sing, I'm just going to make a fool out of you this entire time till you sing.
So stupid.
Why don't you prove me wrong? Would have been great if she got up and was like, screw this. I'm going to get... belted a song
well,
out.
You know what? Luann could have been thinking the whole time and she probably, couldn't have said it because the producer loves it. She's like, I've got so much dirt on you right now with your husband.
Yeah.
Fine, go ahead. Call me a bad singer, honey. Yep.
And maybe that's part of it too. Like underlying, she's just like, okay, I know why she's acting out, and so I'm just going to kind of like let this one roll.
Well, and she said it. She's like, you're being obnoxious. Producers, I'm not going to respond to this behavior.
Yeah, and producers played that song that was like, you know, her song when she wasn't singing, right? And it's like, that's kind of mean to play that. It's like in the midst of that. It's almost like the producers were siding with Ramona by playing that horrible.
Well, I think they pushed Ramona to do that to that extent. Probably. I think Ramona is a not very nice person, but I don't think she'd normally go after somebody like that, especially Luann. I don't really think she has any need to.
Right.
So I think production really, really pushed that.
Yeah.
All right, well, why did Sonia say that she's heard Mario singing in the shower?
Oh, my God.
What the hell was that?
How?
I think if she said it, she realized it made no sense. Like, right when she was almost dumb, except for in the shower.
Really? Do you think she made no sense? Kind of like the way she slept with Carol's husband when they were still together or something.
When your boyfriend sings in the shower, that's the only time I've heard him sing. What the
I don't get it. Why did she tell Aviva that all the women were talking about
her? I don't know.
It was just the weirdest episode.
Can we get one of Sonia's interns on the phone?
Oh, my God. Genius. Kick her in your basket on that.
I will get on that.
I'll get on Harry.
And wait, what did you ladies think about Heather singing?
I loved it.
It's all right. I mean, she was good. Yeah. She wasn't bad.
We were talking, I mean.
She's got great, presence on stage.
I'm not in any way pursuing a singing career, but I grew up singing and took voice lessons. I know you're pursuing it professionally and are a great singer. I felt like it's one of those, she picked the right song.
Song choice.
It's one of those where you can kind of like sing it, talk it, shout it, you know.
Yeah.
And as long as you just have energy and you just commit.
Have fun.
You've sold it.
Yeah, like, it was entertaining.
And Luann could do the same thing, you know. And I was going to say Harry. Oh my gosh, Harry singing.
No.
Mario. Oh, I meant Mario. Yeah. Him singing, like. With the love ballad, I'm like, what were Ramona and Shane doing? Like, I almost feel like Ramona hired Shane to write a love song that he would have to sing to her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As revenge.
Right. And his way of getting away with or getting through with doing it is by not actually dedicating it to her.
Right.
Why did he say that?
That's funny.
So, yeah. And when he was like, you've known some women here very, very well, I'm like... Yeah. Or some people here very, very well. I'm like,
that was so
funny. Push the drama.
But yeah, they really did.
If you go up there and you sing it with confidence and you have fun with it, it's just like when you're at karaoke. You can be a really, really horrible singer, but if you go up and you have fun with it, everybody has a good time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you kill I Will Survive. If you go up there and have fun and start shaking it, then everyone's going
to
laugh.
I think you'd like to differ if you ever heard me do karaoke. I think that whole statement would be really tragic shit. Oh, excuse me. Oh, wait, we can say that. Okay. Let's do it.
Sold.
Okay, predictions. What do you think? Okay. It doesn't matter anyway.
Predictions. So what I was saying at the beginning was, I'm wondering... You know how they said Josh was saying the therapist was going to be on his side and he was going to tell her all the things that, you know, she wasn't doing? I predict the therapist is actually going to be on Kristen's side.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I don't know. I don't know why. I just have a feeling that she's going to, I'm not saying totally, but I'm thinking she's going to side with Kristen a little bit because of the way that he talks to her.
Okay.
I'm sticking with, I kind of said it earlier, as far as, like, they're both going to get a little bit of a taste of their own medicine when she tells them, well, you're wrong on this and this and this, and she's wrong on this and this and this, and go home and work on it. And they're both like, but my story is right, kind of a thing. I don't even think he loves me anymore. We saw, like, a clip of her saying that. So maybe this will get to, like, the deeper thing that she actually cares about, that, you know, like, the time thing isn't really it. It's an insecurity that makes the time thing important, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just touching the surface. There's a lot deeper. What we're seeing, this whole time thing, as you said, it's stemming from something a lot deeper.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot, even on Real Housewives of Orange County, we're seeing a lot of marriages deteriorate.
Shannon and her
like
husband.
That, it's
bring
all,
it on TV.
But tonight it was what disturbing. Watching that fight just really bothered me. Watching the son just sitting down reading, you know the whole time it's bothering him that he's watching his parents fight. Mm-hmm. And, I mean...
Where do we draw the line, guys?
I don't know. TV? It's starting to get a little scary the way that they're showing way too much. But anyway, you can find me at Miss Ashley Daniels on Twitter and Instagram. Where can we find you guys?
And guys, you can find me on Twitter at Host McGraw and on YouTube at Host Stephanie McGraw.
And you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner and my blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at COUHEN.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. My girls.
Full panel.
Yeah.
Bye.
from executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.